This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Let's go. It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
What is up, y'all? Happy weekend. It's the best bits. My favorite part of this podcast is bringing on a show member and just talking about a whole lot of interesting things. And this weekend, it's Mike D. What's up, Mike?
Good. You never know where this podcast is going to go. Is that the slogan?
Yeah, basically. It could be a therapy session, and it could be a whole prank that we just never know actually happens.
The thing is, you're not even recording right now. You're pranking me.
It's true. And I'm going to make you do this for like 3 hours, just over and over again, like a cycle. What is that? When you watch a TV show or movie, and they basically have to go and repeat things over and over and over again until they learn a lesson.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Where they're like, it's like they're getting their mind, getting mind controlled, but they have, they're in this simulation, basically.
Is this a simulation right
Yes,
now?
That is exactly what it is. I just couldn't find the word for it for a minute. That's how you actually know it's not a simulation, because I can't get anything right half the time.
The simulation is off. There's something wrong.
Yeah, the walls are breaking. Something's going on. We're going to dive right in. This week, we had International Women's Day, and Ashley Cook and Chapel Hart both stopped by the studio. They had killer performances, which you can see on our YouTube page. But I also just love the conversation with them. It's always fun when we have people in for the first time in studio. Yeah. And so those were really cool and definitely cool interviews. I want to talk about if you've seen anyone recently, because these were new to the studio, not necessarily new to the show, but new to the studio. And if you've seen anybody recently and you're like, holy crap, and you got a story to share.
Yeah, I saw Adam Sandler in concert for the first time ever.
Okay, I want to know how that was. I wanted to go and I didn't. How was it?
So Adam Sandler is one of my favorite comedians, one of my favorite actors of all time. And he did this special on Netflix a couple years ago where it's part comedy, but really the main thing is music, because outside of when he does on the big screen, he just likes playing guitar. He likes writing funny songs. That's kind of how he got his start early on, even in SNL. So this concert was exactly like that last special that I really loved. He comes out, he does some stand-up, freaking hilarious. He had some cool openers before that. And then he just does a bunch of fun songs. There's a bunch of fun visuals. And the cool part about it, being a movie fan and knowing all the amazing comedies he's done over the years, everybody goes dressed up as like different Adam Sandler characters.
Wait, really?
Yeah. So there's people like Bobby Boucher. There was other people dressed up like Happy Gilmore, stuff from Big Daddy. So it was a really fun, unique experience that I didn't really know what to expect going into it, because you think he's an actor. Like, what exactly is he going to do in a big arena? But it was one of the most fun shows I've been to, like live music and comedy combined. So if he ever comes back, you got to go.
What I'm picturing right now in the audience is a whole bunch of basketball shorts. Was that accurate?
Oh, he even made fun of it, his attire.
He did?
Yeah. He's very self-aware of that.
But I love his attire because it's just so chill. He's just like, I don't care. I'm a dad. I'm having a good life.
Yeah.
But what was like the play to, was he just like joking about himself or joking that people make fun of him for it?
He does a lot of like slideshows and a lot of like visuals behind him while he's doing songs. And then he cut to a photo of him wearing these really elaborately big shorts. So he just makes fun of that aspect of him.
Does he sound the same as, like, when you hear him in the movies, it almost sounds like he has this voice almost that he kind of goes into. Does he sound the exact same?
Pretty much. I think he knows how he turns up his Adam Sandler persona, like that really high pitch kind of goofy
sound. What I'm talking about. Yeah, like it's very unique.
He'll do that. He'll like break into it. But then when he goes back to talking, he kind of has like a real almost like very quiet when he's speaking.
Interesting.
When he came out, he was speaking so low. I was like, wow, I didn't know you could do stand up and speak this low in an arena. It was really interesting.
Dang. And so is your favorite, like, would you even say it's like one of your top three of all time?
Ooh, maybe at least top five.
Okay.
But it was so recent that it would be hard to put it in my top three already.
That's fair. You got to see and like hold out, make sure there's no others. And I saw Kevin James was there. Did he come out?
Yeah. So he always has a surprise opener. It just happened to be Kevin James. And I thought he was joking.
You talk about surprise openers and you get excited to see somebody on tour and they have like multiple openers. You're like, well, I hope it's this one. Out of all of the ones that you could possibly get, you get Kevin James.
It's cool because it seems like everything he does, whether it be movies or touring, he just brings out his friends.
Mm.
And that's what he always does. So it was cool for him to bring out one of his most famous friends, Kevin James. And he was hilarious.
Dang. Okay, so how long was... Also, that's weird because I feel like Kevin James and Adam Sandler are kind of on par with fame and celebrity. They're both massive.
Yeah, Kevin James could do a headlining show all by himself.
Yeah, but he was the opener. Yeah. So how long was he out there for before Adam?
He probably did about 15, maybe 20 minutes.
That's wild. Isn't that crazy to think like Kevin James was Adam Sandler's opener?
Yeah, I think the weird thing too is they seem so famous to me and I've only seen them on screen. It was weird just being there and being that close to them. I feel like it's kind of, I got to see the other experience that since we live in Nashville, do this show, we get to see all these country stars all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're a little bit jaded to it. We just know them. It just feels like someone else coming into the studio. And then I feel like I got that feeling of when other people go to a concert and see these country artists for the first time, you're like, oh, they're actually real humans here.
Yeah, it's like actually a fame thing instead of just being like, oh, you're just another person.
Yeah.
That's true. I do feel that way more so. Like when you talked about seeing Gwyneth Paltrow in grocery store, like that would make me geek out.
Yeah.
But not seeing like Tim McGraw at Whole Foods, I'd be like, oh, hey, what's up, Tim? It's just a different like, and it is because we're around it. We're jaded to it, I feel like.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Dang. Okay, that's a really good one. Mine don't compare to Adam Sandler because I'm very jealous. I wanted to go to that and I didn't buy tickets. And I was like, I'm not going to buy these on resale. It's going to be nuts. I did go to the free Morgan Wallen show.
Oh, yeah.
In Nashville. And that was a wild experience for me because not only was there like drama with back behind the scenes of like getting the free tickets, because this is like a hot commodity ticket. Lunchbox had like basically given his to a friend of a friend. And it like threw off the whole process of like showing up to the label who was supposed to have these tickets and basically got everybody in trouble. It was a hot mess behind the scenes.
I did not know about that.
Yeah. In pure Lunchbox fashion, he just has to mess everything up. But I ended up going to this show like with a ticket from the label, but I ended up hanging out with my best friend the whole time, and she is dating Morgan's agent.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ended up having like backstage passes the whole time. We ended up going to the after party and then the after after party, which, Mike, I haven't been to an after after party since like college.
I haven't been to an after party in a minute.
Yeah, like any of it. Like that whole night was just wild and it was really fun. The after party was at Jason Aldean's, which used to be basically my old stomping grounds.
It's, mm-hmm.
You know, where I spent pretty much like half of my first years in Nashville.
I associate that place with you.
Exactly.
With your birthday there.
Yeah, that was my place. Where we had my birthday is where we were hanging out for the VIP area mm-hmm. after Morgan's show. And then we went to very, very like dive bar karaoke bar as the after party. And it hit like 3 o'clock. I was like, I need to go home. I am too old for this. But it was a wild experience because I got to see. So like cool being in the venue. And it was funny. People were mad online that I tweeted this. But also, do you know what the statement it's giving means?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's giving so-and-so some kind of vibe or
something.
Yeah,
it's giving an energy of it. It doesn't mean somebody is them. It's just like giving you that vibe of something.
Yeah.
I'm glad you appreciate that. I had put online that because when we were at the Morgan Wallen show, it was in the round. And there's only one other person. There's two technically that I've seen, but one that it's very like publicized about, and it was Garth Brooks. He did In the Round, full stadium, and he's done multiple like massive free shows. So I said, it's giving modern day Garth Brooks. And people got mad. I was like, guys, unless you were in that crowd, like he was in the round, he played to 18,000 free fans.
That's insane.
And this album just came out that day and people already knew every new song he was playing.
That's impressive.
Yes. I was like, I get it. Trust me, nobody's ever going to be Garth Brooks. Garth Brooks will always be his own. But it was like, when I was in there, I was getting chill bumps just from the experience of like, wow, I'm really seeing what it was probably like for people to experience Garth Brooks when he was new and like blowing up. Because that was that same vibe I was getting in that room and people were singing. I was like, guys, this song came out 8 hours ago. How do you all know this? And I didn't even know them. And I listened to the full album. But like, it was wild. So the concert was really cool. And then afterwards, when we were at that VIP part, Morgan was in there. And you know, when you see in movies and you see paparazzi and you see all the flashing and everybody, all the, you know, crazy fans.
Yeah.
Mike, it was like a movie. I was just sitting there and I got to enjoy all this as just like a person that was just happened to be in the right place that this was all going on. I'm not kidding you. I have never seen so much flash photography in one place, in one like very closed space, and people just losing their minds to see him. And I was like, I don't even know. He had his two bodyguards with him who literally were maybe an inch from him at all times. He could not like move without them moving. I watched him do code names half the time. Like
the show, president.
Yes. It was so wild. Even when we went to like the low key karaoke bar too, this happened. And it just kept happening through the whole time. And I'm like, I cannot imagine what that life would be like, because that seems chaotic to me. But he loved it. He loved every minute of it. Like he was soaking it in and he was realized like he is one of the biggest names in the world right now. And I saw it like firsthand and I felt like I was in a movie. Like for the first time in my entire life, I was like, this is what it feels like to be in a movie, but this is like real life for him.
That is crazy.
Isn't that wild? I just like that experience was more, even more like eye opening for me than anything else I've ever been to. Cause I was just like, I didn't know this is what it actually looks like. And I think you could have, you know, a Luke Bryan or a Carrie Underwood and you could probably get similar things, but his fans are so young. And there's so many women that love them. And women are more emotional, especially after drinking and having a good time, right? So there was a whole lot of screaming and a whole lot of yelling and a lot of girls like throwing themselves at him. Like, I swear I was in like a teen heartthrob movie. That's what it was like.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. So that was my Morgan Wallen experience. And then that same week I saw Carrie Underwood, which was awesome. She puts on a heck of a show. Like, talk about should be entertainer of the year 12 times over. Just amazing. She flew through the air on like a big circular sphere thing through the whole stadium.
Saw the videos, yeah.
Yeah. And she also did a skit with Brad Paisley. They came out. Since they got, for lack of a better way of saying it, replaced with Luke Bryan and Peyton Manning, they poked fun at them and did like a whole CMA monologue for like him surprising come out. And then Jason Aldean came out and did a song. And then Jimmy Allen was the opener and he took off his shirt during his opening thing. This show, I was like, there is just surprises all across the board. It was a wild experience, like two massive concerts in less than basically 48 hours. So those were some good ones, but I highly recommend people see both of those tours if they come to town. So now they got Adam Sandler,
yep,
Carrie Underwood, and Morgan Wallen.
It's quite the mix.
I mean, yeah, talk about some big names too. Like those are some A-listers, hardcore on all of the fronts. So fun ones there. But, you know, even giving both of those experiences, Mike, I'm very jealous of your Adam Sandler one.
It was a fun one.
Ah, yeah, he's so good. Favorite Adam Sandler movie? Top one.
Big Daddy.
Ooh, solid. That's a good one. I think I'd do Mr. Deeds.
Really?
I love Mr. Deeds. And I think I associate it with like nostalgia because I grew up kind of watching that one.
I could see, yeah.
And it's just like if I ever see it on TV, I was like, oh, I miss, and it's not around a lot, you know, like it just kind of pops up when you just really want to see it. It's kind of that movie.
Interesting one to have as your favorite. I guess it is a timing thing.
It is. And I mean, I love all of them, but Mr. Deeds is just one that, and he's so like underratedly funny in that movie. I think still new in his career too. And Borat. Who's the actor that plays Borat?
Sacha Baron Cohen.
He's in it. He's in Mr. Deeds, I believe. He plays the butler.
I don't think that's not him.
I'm pretty positive it is.
I'm pretty sure it's not.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, he reminds me of him because of the way that he talks.
Yeah, I know the butler and that was not Sacha Baron
he
Cohen.
Looks like him. He's like his celebrity doppelganger. It's John Turturro. Yeah, John Turturro. I'm telling you, look at a picture of him. He kind of looks like Borat. Like, I'm not far off in thinking that.
Oh, yeah, that's the guy from Severance.
Yeah. Like, he does kind of look like Borat, right? I think I was thinking of Transformers, because he is in Transformers, this John Turturro guy.
Oh, yeah.
And that's who I was thinking of instead of Borat. Because he has that, he does something with his voice acting that, like, he can change it up, and it reminds me of Borat, because Borat will do his, like, catchphrases. But, yeah, I don't know. I just love both of them in Mr. Deeds. But solid Adam Sandler movies. So now they have concerts and movies to watch. We also had a Spill the Tea segment on the show this week, which was always fun to hear. And I don't know that we ever quite got a conclusion on it either. It was like spilling the tea and this is what happened. But I don't think anybody knows, spoiler alert, what happened to the soap dispenser. I think we just know that it got ripped off and that's what it was.
Yeah, we were inspecting it earlier.
Yeah, you were? Yeah. Is it still in the bathroom?
It is still there. We were trying to determine whether or not there was a screw at any point. And it does look like there was one screw holding that whole thing together.
Oh, dang. Those are like big soap dispensers.
Yeah, so maybe Lunchbox was right. It didn't have a solid foundation, so he had to mess with it.
Mike, you need to take that back. We can't ever admit that. That can't ever leave this room. That's true. I want to talk about phases of life that you might be in right now. So, like, it could be funny. It could be serious. Like, what do you feel is kind of like, you know, Taylor Swift eras? What is your phase or your era that you're in right now?
I think I'm in the don't care what people think phase.
Okay.
I think I've always kind of been a little bit guarded when it comes to saying, I think that's also kind of leads to why I don't speak a whole lot, is I'm very like worried how I'm going to be perceived. Mm. I live in my head a lot and I always think if I say something stupid, people are going to think something of me, but I'm kind of in this phase now where I don't really care anymore. I just want to say exactly how I'm feeling. And even when it comes to like posting on social media, I was afraid before sometimes to post dumb stuff because I think dumb things all the time and I put like jokes out there. I'm like, why would I be afraid to put that out there? So I think I want to feel more open on social media to just be myself a little bit more. So I think I'm in the phrase of I don't care what people think of me. I kind of want to be more of myself and share that with people and stop caring so much.
I love that. That's awesome. Like, that's a cool place to be at in your life, too, because you can kind of look back and be like, why did I care about that? Or why was I letting that stop me? That's really awesome. Do you feel like you've done better then about posting things on social media, about talking up more? Is that kind of where you feel like you're at? Or you're like in the, I'm about to do this?
I'm in the, I've started it, and then I'm getting more comfortable with it.
Okay.
I think even when it comes to, like, in the studio between breaks, like, just speaking up a little bit more.
And you like, have been. I've heard you more times during the like our breaks in the studio.
I feel like sometimes being around everybody when I was younger, I felt a little bit more intimidated as being like, you know, the younger one. And now I just feel like these are all people I've been around for so long. I should feel the most comfortable in the studio that I feel anywhere else. So I think that's kind of probably what started it. And I was like, if I can do this here, why not just do it everywhere else? Do it on my social media, do it on my podcast, do it everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, just be me. And I think my wife's helped me a lot with that, too, of like, hey, you're this way at home. You could be this way other places and show people that side of you.
Well, because she also probably gets to see, like, the full version of you. And she's like, I would love for other people to see this side of you.
Yeah, like, I'm an idiot at home. I want to be an idiot in other places.
I mean, I don't think you're an idiot, but if you're goofy.
Yeah.
And you show off your quirks, and I think everybody should show off their quirks. So I think it's really cool that you're doing that, especially now, too. Like, I think there's such a place for that now. I do think our society would push people down for being different before, you know, maybe 10 years ago. But now people love people that are different and want to show off who they are and why they stand out from other people. And so the only thing that's going to happen from you doing this is you get benefited from it. Yeah. There is no repercussions.
I think TikTok has been a big factor in that. I feel like when it came to social media, I would look at Instagram and not really see people like me. Like, it was all attractive people posting really cool, fun things. And that's the people who built like a big following, got all the likes. When you go over to TikTok, you have to talk. You have to show your personality. And I would see people that wouldn't have a shot anywhere else have a shot on TikTok. I'm not a good looking person. I know that. I go on TikTok and I see other people who look like me, but as long as they're passionate, sharing their real selves, being as authentic as they can, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you look like. It just matters what you put out there. And I think I was always kind of self-conscious of the things I would post because I'm like, no one's going to want to look at me. But if you're talking about things that you're passionate about or just your thoughts on things, as long as they're your authentic thoughts, it doesn't matter. And I think that shines through right now on TikTok. So that's been kind of a big motivating factor for me is like, it doesn't matter what you look like.
Mm-hmm. It's never mattered what you look like, but I'm glad that you feel that way now too.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you, Mike. See, it turned into a therapy session. I didn't even do that one.
Oh, crap.
That one was all you. The chair changed. That one was all you. It's funny you're in that because I feel like as you go through 20s and 30s, you hit that at some point.
Yeah, I think it was also entering the 30s.
Yeah, the 30s will do that to you. Yeah. It's like the quarter life crisis stage.
It's just the phase where you're like, all the things I've been worrying about for so long don't really matter anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I trying to impress?
Exactly. And you already have your wife. So like you already got her. You already impressed her. Yeah. Now she loves every part of you. So really, you don't have anyone to impress.
Nobody to impress.
And technically, that's the only one based on old school, like mating or whatever to impress. I don't even think that's how it is now. But you know what I mean. I would say my phase of life is interesting compared to yours because I'm a very positive person and I still am. But I am in my I hate everyone phase. I have entered my emo era again. Essentially, it's more of like I don't hate the people around me, right? But I do hate everyone in the sense that I don't feel like people have a lot of common sense anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I go out into public, I get so frustrated because something bad happens because somebody's being a not kind person. Mm-hmm. And people suck at driving also in Nashville, which is a whole other disaster in itself. I go on the dating apps and everybody is just, I look at it and I'm like, man, there's just not a good option on here for anything. And so I just like look at that and I'm like, you know what? I just hate everyone right now because that's better than the alternative, I guess. It's just, I'm not feeling connected to people in the way that I used to. And it could be a good thing because it could mean that I, you know, am becoming more of who I'm supposed to be. But I also am just like frustrated. I feel like we're in a phase that everybody just genuinely only cares about themselves and nobody's actually like trying to be like the best version of themselves in some instances. And they're just trying to get by. And I get that. I mean, I'm in fight or flight like half of my life, you know, like I feel like we go through that. But I still try and make sure I don't take that out on other people or I still do things that I need to do because other people deserve that side of me. So I'm just very frustrated with human beings right now. Is that fair, Mike? Tell me if I'm not fair.
I think that is fair. I guess it comes to the extent of you hating everybody.
Yeah.
How does that, like, where do you take that frustration? Do you take the frustration out?
No.
Or is it just like, I'm not messing with anybody. Like, I want to stay home.
Kinda. I basically, like, do all internal. And, yes, I do stay home. So, basically, it's like once I go out, I'm like, okay, I'm going back home and I'm just going to hide in the hole for, like, the next 10 hours.
I feel that. Sometimes I go out and I'm like, I've had enough of.
Yes.
I've had enough of public.
Yeah, and that's been. And normally I'm very extroverted and very much want to be out and be social and doing things. And just lately I'm like, man, I just, like, the more that I come out here, the more that it's worse.
I think that's fine. I think you should go through periods of like, I can't take the outside world right now. I need to go home and chill. As long as you're not like, I hate everybody. I'm going to fight everybody.
Oh, no.
I think you're okay.
That's why I take boxing classes, Mike.
Yeah.
I got to take it. If it is going somewhere, it's going into a boxing bag.
Get that frustration out.
And even when people make me mad, like people on the road or, you know, customer service people are very unkind. I take deep breaths through it, and then I yell afterwards. I don't yell at that person because I know it's somebody else. There's some connection that's making that happen, right? And so then I just, like, I'm basically, again, like the movies. I take a pillow, and I scream into the pillow, and I'm like, why is this happening?
That does feel good. I hear one of the best things you can do is just let it out vocally.
Yeah.
Like a scream, a yell, even like a primitive grunt. I hear that's, like, really beneficial for you. I do that sometimes because somebody said that. That if you let out a grunt when you're feeling frustrated, it has some kind of chemical reaction in your brain, like dating back to like prehistoric times, that it is good for you. It's a good reset.
Okay, like a grunt like you hear like, in the gym? Oh, that's a grunt.
Like a grunt.
Okay, yeah. I'm much better at the screams. I don't think I've ever grunted in my life. It is funny when I do my, like, external scream in the house, my dog Remy just looks at me like, is everything okay? Like, I've never heard that come out of your body before. She's definitely seen a different side of me recently, but I'm proud of you because yours is coming out of your shell and mine, I'm going back in. So very opposite phases of life right now, Mike. I love that for both of us.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Bobby got a super cool opportunity that he has not decided if he's actually going to do or not do yet. And I'll leave that to him to share that whole story on the Best Bits, Just the Bits, because it's really cool. And I think he should do it. And nobody else on the show thinks he will, but I think he'll do it for the plot.
Yeah, I think he'll do it too for the Instagram picture, like you said.
Yeah, like you got some things in life you do for the plot. And the plot is Instagram. And I think Bobby will do it to get the picture.
Yeah, I think he will.
And maybe he'll do it and then last minute, like totally chicken out and not actually go up in the air. But I still have faith that he might, because it would make a really cool video.
And it's something to talk about too.
Yeah.
I feel like he'll do it.
I know. Hey, you know what? We're on the same page. We saw it, but everybody else in the studio was not believing it. How is your, speaking of like crazy things and just kind of potential opportunities, how is your New Year's resolution going?
Mine is going okay. My New Year's resolution was to have it kind of shifted because I was initially trying to make new friends.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't gone very well. And the year's gone by so fast already.
I mean, we are already in March.
To be honest, I forgot that was my New Year's resolution. Until just now.
Mike!
Because I shifted to a different one.
Wait, when did you shift, though?
When I realized that it was going to be a lot harder than I expected.
I don't think that's what is allowed to happen.
Yeah.
Mike, when you like set a goal or a resolution, I don't think you can change it.
It's one of those things like, I'm going to get to that. And then I realize it's March and I haven't made any attempts of making a friend.
Okay, so you didn't even like try and get on like Bumble BFF?
No.
Try and say hi to somebody in a coffee shop?
No.
Say hi to somebody at the movies?
No, not that either.
Okay.
I'm very much a go to a place, get out.
All right, Mike. Okay. Well, that one, obviously, not well. Not good at all. What's the new one that you set?
I've been trying to develop a sense of style.
Okay. I like this for you.
Just not so much that I'm trying to be like a fashion guy, but I'm trying to create just be more intentional in the things I wear and more intentional in the things I buy. Like I would say 3-4 years ago, I would just buy random clothes because I thought it would look cool. And then I have all these random things that nothing goes together. And I never really felt confident in anything I wore. So I've been very dedicated on Instagram of whenever I see something cool, I'll screenshot it, look it up, try to build an outfit out of it. And just everything that I buy now, I'm like, how is this going to fit into everything else I wear? What am I trying to look like? What am I trying to feel my best in? So just create a sense of style to where there are a lot of people who influence me and I think, man, they dress cool. And I respect them for that. I want to have that level of a sense of style that somebody sees me like, oh, he actually dresses kind of cool. I would be inspired by that.
Okay. Who are your like three clothing influences?
I love Jonah Hill.
Yes.
I love Shia LaBeouf and Jonathan Majors, who is in the new Creed movie.
Yes.
They have like this very kind of, it's not even like super like high fashion or anything. It's like very like low key, like normal, almost like normal core. Of like vintage t-shirts.
The core word coming out.
Like cool, short, like just everything about it is just very like classic and timeless. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I'm into.
Have you done the, I feel like if I remember based on photos I've seen of those three, they often do the hoodie with the jacket look. Have you adapted that yet?
Not yet.
Is that something you're looking into?
That is something. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to find like cool hoodies. Like this one I found, it was all inspired by, I found it on TikTok.
Oh, he's currently wearing, let me describe, it kind of looks rust colored.
Yeah, it's kind of like brown and like it looks like it's been bleached and mm-hmm. like it's kind of like a vintage looking, but it's a new hoodie.
Yeah, but it doesn't have any holes.
Yeah.
And it also is brighter than black, which is what you typically wear.
Yeah. I'm also trying to get out of the all black phase. So I've been studying like the shape of things, which is weird. Like I want like my silhouette to have a look to it. So in the things that I buy, I'm always thinking about the shape of it.
And what about shoes?
Shoes, I've got my first pair of boots, like Doc Martens.
Oh.
So kind of elevating just like things I would normally wear, still feel comfortable in, but like taking it a step higher. And I think that's what I've learned is buy the things that you're already comfortable in and just take it up a level. If you're normally wearing Vans, find something that's a little bit more high class than a Van. And that's how you can kind of just slightly elevate your fashion.
I think that's a great tip when you're looking into style, because if there's one thing I've realized, if I buy a cute pair of shoes, I then want to work outfits around a mm-hmm. great pair of shoes that I like.
Which is what I would always do. Yeah. You get something cool and you work around it. You have to build something from the start of it.
So now you're just doing it with not just shoes, you're also doing it with other clothes items as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is cool. I like this. This is a good resolution. And it's also a fun one to do in your 30s because you have more money. You're
adult
more established. And you can do things and spend a little bit more money on things. Whereas before, I feel like most of your 20s, you're kind of like, I don't want to spend a lot of money on things. I want to be able to go out and do all these things. And clothing kind of becomes like the second one that you're like, mm-hmm. I just want to buy something cheap that might be in style and it'll work for a little bit. Now it's like, no, high quality. I need like my staple pieces in my closet.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
And I think like dressing up was always hard for me because I always thought you had to be like in a typical button-up shirt, have these slacks. Like you can dress nice without having to dress what is traditionally known as like, oh, you're dressed up.
Oh, for sure.
That took me a long time to learn. Mm-hmm. You mean I don't have to wear a tie and a vest?
And in all fairness, I do think that business casual has changed a lot over mm-hmm. the years as well. So I do think it used to be that way. And now it's just people are like, okay, we don't want to wear that. And we would like to wear jeans and we would like to wear clothes that feel comfortable, but are still cool. And I think that's where that kind of shifted. Everybody, fashion was kind of like, nah, we don't really need that business. We don't need the pencil skirts, yeah, the suit and tie. We just need you to look professional.
I think it was also the pandemic too. We all kind of reverted back to like shorts and t-shirts. And then I felt myself get into that too. And now this is kind of me crawling myself out of that.
Yeah.
Getting kind of wearing that stuff all the time.
I have seen you wear more slacks than usual.
Yeah.
And more colors.
The colors is probably like, that was the first thing that I realized I need to switch up a little bit.
Yes. So, hey, I'm noticing, I was like, it's not all black.
Yeah.
I see you, but I also make sure to say hi to everyone in the morning, and I always say hi to you. So when I look at people, I'm like, oh, that's different than usual. So I've been noticing. I didn't know that was a resolution for you, yeah, but I've been noticing.
I have like different ways I categorize myself now. Like I'll ask my wife advice on what I should wear. I'm like, should I go classic Mike, which is all black, or should I go new Mike, which is a little more colorful?
I like it. Classic and new Mike.
Yeah.
You have two versions. Just which is the switch today?
Today is the newer Mike. I'm like halfway today.
And on the weekends, are you newer Mike or old Mike?
I am newer Mike on the weekends. Okay. That's kind of like my time to really, we usually go out date night. That's when I'm like, okay, here's my A+ outfit.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Because also during the work week, you kind of are like, let me just revert back to like casual because this is a lot. Fair. Okay. I like it. My New Year's resolution, do you happen to remember what mine was?
The year of doing.
Yeah. And I've been doing really good at that for the most part. But like you said, I can't believe we're already in March.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I thought I was doing really good. And then like the weeks just pass. And I'm like, how am I already sitting here? And we're like a third way of through the year. But this past weekend, I did do one of the things I had on my list to do, and it was trapeze.
Yeah, the one I've been waiting for you to do.
Yeah? What did you think of my video? Did you see it?
It looked terrifying.
Oh, it was, Mike. And I had put music over it, but I'm not kidding you. The first video, all you hear is, ah!
That's what I imagine. I would not be taking that with any grace. I'd be like, oh my God.
I screamed. So like, it was funny because my biggest fear is, it's not heights. I can get up on heights and like be up there and I'll be fine. But it's the stomach drop, typically associated with heights.
Oh, yeah, like that roller coaster feeling.
Yes, I hate roller coasters because I hate that stomach drop. I just don't ever, it makes me feel ill. Basically, I want to vomit.
See, I like it in a roller coaster. I feel secure in a roller coaster, but everywhere else, no.
So, like, you wouldn't go bungee jumping?
No.
Yes. Okay, so we're on some par, but you would do roller coasters. You're more brave than me. But so I was like, you know what? This is something that, like, I could potentially do and maybe get over my fear a little bit. And I was right. You definitely get a stomach drop because when I jumped off of the platform, it was immediate. And I was like, oh, God.
But you're clipped into something, right?
You are, which is funny, though, because
it didn't look like it at first.
Oh, yeah. No, you have a harness on. But it's funny because the people who professionally do trapeze, they're not at all.
Yeah, they got nothing.
No. And there was one that when it was funny. So I did the first and I got the clip on the legs, which, by the way, you should see the back of my knees. I look like I got in a fight with a raccoon.
Ooh.
Like there are scrapes, there are bruises. It is brutal to bend my legs for the past like 4 days. So I did. That is my battle wounds from grabbing onto the bar with my knees. I have proof that I did it, not only on video, but on my body. But it was at the end. It was like, hey, for your last one, do you want to try and grab onto me? And I was like, wait, what?
To another human?
Yes. And I looked at her and I was like, you're kidding, right? Like, this is a joke. And she's like, no, you got it. You already got, because what they have said about trapeze and what I learned, it's not really about strength and it's not about like, you know, your core, or your arms. It's about timing and where you swing on the pendulum, basically. And if you're up, you have to like hit a certain moment. And if you miss that moment, you don't have the momentum that you need to do things or do the tricks.
Like physics.
It is straight up. And which hurts my brain because I hate math. Don't like that stuff. But she was like, you have the timing down. If you can do it like you've been doing it, we will grab on. So I go up. I'm like, you know what? Fine. I'm already here. I paid my $75 to take an hour and a half class. I'm going to do it. And I go up there. And the first time I went, when she was coming at me on the other side, I straight up saw her and I just dropped. I let go of everything. I was like, I don't know what's happening. Like everything left my brain. But then I was like, okay, now I've seen you. I know you're up here with me. Let me try again. And the second time I did it, we had it and I let go. And she swung me and then dropped me in the air. And after I got done, my whole body was literally shaking. I was like, I did it, but I'm terrified. Like, I don't know what just happened. I'm pretty sure during every turn I took, I blacked out. And I would roll off of the thing and be like, I don't really know what I just did, but I feel like I did something. And I, sure enough, in the videos, I did do something, but I don't remember
it. I'm still here.
Yeah, I'm still alive. It was a wild experience. I felt like I was in the circus, for real. And it was even in a circus tent.
That's what I remember when they were building that place. I was like, well, the circus coming to town? And then I saw the sign go up. I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Yep, it's the Nashville School for Aerial Arts, and it is straight up in a circus tent. It was a wild night.
So will you do it again?
I think I will do it again if somebody wants to go. Like if I have a friend that wants to go, or if somebody comes in town and wants to go. I don't think I'm going to pick it up like I'm picking up gymnastics. I think it's my body took a beating. Now, granted, you don't do like the hook your knees on. You learn new tricks every time you go in. So, but I'm telling you, my whole body, like I thought it was okay. The next day I was like, oh yeah, I'm fine. I'm not sore. And then came Tuesday and I couldn't feel like half of my body. I was like, I don't even know where my arms are. And like, you know, you feel like sick. Almost like your body feels very achy.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. And I was like, this has to be from traffic.
Yeah, the pain always skips a day.
Always. And that it makes sense because the girls who were teaching us were ripped. And yeah, now I get it.
That's a very demanding athletic thing.
Oh my gosh, Mike. Like, I'm so glad I did it. I had my Carrie Bradshaw Sex in the City moment. And I'm so just like proud of myself for doing it. But wow. Like, just a crazy experience, and I highly encourage anybody who's like willing to go do it. It's worth it just to do it once, to have the experience, to have a net, to like drop into a net and like fly. You kind of feel like a bird. You get that feeling of like you're flying through the air. Yeah, I think you should do it.
I don't know. The only thing I would want to do in that kind of regard is like jumping into a big foam pit.
You've never jumped into a foam pit?
No, that seems fun.
Okay, well, you can totally go to my gymnastics place and do a $20 drop-in and do the foam pit.
Really?
Yeah, they have trampolines that go into a foam pit.
I'm going to go do that.
Yeah, well, you can definitely do that. That's easy.
The other thing that looks cool, have you ever seen it on TikTok, these people who do this backyard trampoline, where it's like a trampoline at the bottom of a wall, and the thing is like maybe 20 feet up, and they jump off the wall, land on the trampoline, and then do some kind of like flip and then land back on the platform.
Yes,
that looks
I have.
So fun, but so like I want to do that in my head. I think I would be good at that. Probably wouldn't, but that looks so fun. But they don't have any kind of harness or anything.
No, they don't have it's all like gravity is basically what they're working with.
But it looks like the way they fly, you're like, man, how do they plot that out?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen them do training videos on it, and they take a lot of tumbles on top of that wall.
When you watch them land it, you're like, oh, they're just really good at it. Yeah, you watch those ones where they fail, and like, oh man, that hurts.
Anything with any type of skill level of like, you know, what's the word? Aerobatic? I'm not pronouncing that right. I know it.
Now the only word I can think of now is aerobics. But
aerobic. No, you got it. You had it. I was like, wow, I can't find the end of that word. But anything like aerobic in any sense is like, you talk about seeing somebody, you're like, oh, that looks pretty easy. And then you look at the training, you're like, no chance. That is where like skill level comes in.
Now I'm thinking, is aerobics the right word?
Well, acrobat. I might be thinking acrobatic. Okay.
Acrobatic.
Okay. Aerobics is more like when you go to a gym class.
Yeah, that's like Zumba. I was like, this still doesn't feel
Zumba
right to me.
Zumba takes skill too. No, acrobats. Yes. Like anything with that level. Like they have the silks there at the place, and they have the big metal circles that
the
you
Carrie
can do.
Underwood circle.
Basically. And like the ropes that you can do stuff with. And I'm just like, and I watch them all and I'm just amazed. And they've taken years to master those talents, but holy crap. I don't think I have that much like in me to master a skill so like beautifully, because that's like day in, day out of like bruises and bleeding. And
yeah, to get to that level where you can just do it with ease.
Yeah.
It takes forever.
Wild. And yeah, I followed one of the girls who trained, like who was one of our trainers, and I watch her. She puts up like skill videos every day of her working on. I'm just like in awe. I'm like, how does like somebody like that exist? And it's crazy because we were talking to him about Cirque du Soleil, which is the one that has a lot of that. And they're like, yeah, there's like 4 women in the entire thing. So like all these people all over the country compete for like very small spots in certain things, because it's not like there's multiple Cirque du Soleil. You know, there's only one, and there might be another one like across the country or across the world, but still not a lot. So like not only are you like having to perfect a skill to be good at it, But like, you have to be the best of the best to do certain things. Isn't that crazy?
I didn't realize there was only one of those.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's wild. So yes, trapeze, Mike, if you keep coming out of your shell, this may be something for you. Because you are strapped in. And it is a very, the best way I can describe it is it was exhilarating and terrifying all in the same swoop, basically. And it was awesome. When I like finally fell and I was like, holy crap, I did it. It was a really cool thing. So even though I hate everyone right now, I do love trapeze. Raymundo shared on the show this week how much money he made from Vacation Part 2. And, you know, my thing I'm going to say from this is that writing songs is a scam.
Yeah, I've written a couple and I think I've made less than Raymundo.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, wait, written a couple meaning some of the Raging Idiot songs?
Yeah, Hobby Lobby Bobby and Chick-fil-A, But It's Sunday. I think over the years, I mean, I wrote those songs maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I probably made in total $15, $20.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, those have gotten some serious streams too.
Yeah. Every now and then I'll see it come through my bank account, my payment. And I think the last one was maybe $1. Maybe $1.
Okay, this is a scam. This is a scam. I have, like, listen, Mike, do you think so? Are you kind of like, how is that only the amount I'm getting?
Yeah, let me see my last payment. Let me see what it was.
This is funny. But especially because I'm just so curious. Maybe the money for songwriters is coming from radio play?
I think so. I think it's also you make more if you actually sell, like, the album, like the physical album. You get a song, like an album cut.
Oh, okay.
But yeah,
Hobby Lobby Bobby should have been on Raging Idiot's album cut, right?
I think that was a straight up single.
What about Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, maybe that one was on an EP.
Okay. I feel like one of them was at least on one of their albums.
I got, $1 and 1 cent in my last payment. And I think
did you see that come in? You're like, what in the?
I was like, what is it? I thought I was getting scammed. You know, sometimes when you get a really small payment, you're like, they're scamming me. And then I saw that. I was like, oh no, that's my royalty payment.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. But seriously, you should be getting more than that.
Yeah, you think.
Yep, songs is a scam. Writing songs is a scam. I've said it. This is how we find out basically everything we've done in life is a scam. And we're just like part of the mouse wheel or whatever. Oh my gosh, that's wild. So does this mean you won't be writing any more songs?
I'm going to have to write like 50 songs just so I can get like a combo meal.
Yeah, I think you're going to need to write one that goes on the radio.
Yeah.
That has to be where the money is. Because otherwise, I mean, I know a lot of songwriters in town that make a whole lot of money.
Either on the radio or get it like in a TV show, a movie.
Yeah.
Get those licensing rights.
I mean, something doesn't make sense. Is there anything else you've been scammed about recently besides your songwriting that I didn't know about?
One that I never admitted on the show because I knew they would grill the crap out of me. It happened like...
Oh, I love that you saved this.
Like a year ago. And it was whenever we were living in Costa Rica, we were out filming Bobby's show, Snake in the Grass. And I got a random call from somebody claiming to be AT&T.
Okay.
And they told me that they were going to have to disrupt my service. And I was like, what is happening? And then they were like, yeah, but it's only going to be disconnected for like 10 minutes. And I was like, oh, well, that's not so bad. And then they started getting into, yeah, we'll just have to verify your account. I'm going to send you a code right now. And they sent me a code.
Okay, this sounds legit.
It sounds legit, but it's so not legit. They sent me the code and asked me to repeat it to them. And the whole time my wife is sitting next to me and like thinking like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I was just so, while we were living out there, my brain was all over the place. It was weird. And it was weird being in another country and trying to keep things like together at home. So I just wasn't in my right space and mentally. And then I give them the code and then the conversation ends. And I'm like, that was really weird. And then right after that, I realized I had been scammed because they went and tried to buy iPhones underneath my AT&T account.
What?
So somehow they got my phone number and were logging in to buy these iPhones. And whenever you do that, you have to verify that it's you. So, you know, whenever you're trying to verify something, they call your phone and then you put in the code yourself. They were doing it on the other end.
Oh, my
And I
gosh.
Straight up gave them the code. And you're not supposed to do that. So if you get a call from any kind of customer service and they're sending a phone code
to you. Okay, but how could they get you your code from AT&T? Because that's a system malfunction in AT&T.
Yeah, there is something where they have gotten into like how your phone number is attached. They know like based between the numbers or something what carrier you have. Wow. Or they're just getting really lucky. Because that was crazy. And by the end of that phone call, within 5 minutes, there was an iPhone purchase on my account. I had to call the actual AT&T and tell them that it was a scam. They had to cancel it. But
I mean, at least you were paying attention to it closely, because you could have just done that and then not looked at it for a few days because you were out of the country. And then they could have bought even more. And then you probably wouldn't have been able to cancel them.
Yeah. Luckily, it went off in my brain immediately mm-hmm. that something was up. And then looking at the account, yeah, there was a purchase of an iPhone 12. I'm like, I don't even have an iPhone 12.
Like, you don't get one. I'm like,
you're not going to get one on my account. And then that was almost a similar thing that happened to me in the scam alert I did share with AT&T calling me mm-hmm. pretending to be customer service. And
you
they
were like an AT&T like radar thing.
Yeah, it's like they have my info and mm-hmm. they keep coming after me. So now I don't answer my phone at all.
So does it show up on your phone when you get an unknown number? It says scam alert.
It does now.
It does? Or like possible scam?
I tried calling back that original number that they called me from, mm-hmm. and they wouldn't answer. It just kept ringing and ringing. They're like, I got you, sucker.
That's always a telltale sign,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they stop answering. I was mm-hmm. like, oh, man, I just want to talk to them and be really awful.
This is where, like, Mean Mike comes out. We got new Mike, old Mike, and now we got Mean Mike.
Mean Mike.
It reminds me of Like Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? That was it. Like Mike, the movie.
Yeah, Lil Bow Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So like AT&T is coming after you, or phone scams. Maybe you're just on your phone too much.
Phone scams in general. So
this is telling you to stay off your phone, Mike.
But yeah, the lesson here, never give anybody a code. That's just for you.
But that's wild, because like to get authenticated on a lot of apps that I have to use, I have to put codes in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's wild. And oftentimes though, I will see people try and like access things, and it's all connected to my cell phone, even the show stuff.
Yeah,
and
the worst is like, when you get a notification, you're like, oh, that's not me.
Oh my God, it's the worst. And it's like, Africa. And I was like, excuse me? Like, thankfully, they don't have connection to my phone, but what if they did? Like, you, like, what's happening? That's rough. Those are bad ones.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe this one will make you feel better.
Okay.
I don't know if it will, because this is pretty rough. But I had problems with my Jeep. I was driving it felt like I had a flat tire, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So I took it to a tire place that shall not be named because I'm a nice person. And I was like, hey, can you check out my tires? I don't know what's going on. They looked it over. Everything looked good. He was like, but let's go ahead and balance them. It may help out. What's going on? I'm like, okay, cool. I let him balance it. They call me back and they're like, hey, also the lug nuts on your tires. Keep in mind, everything on a Jeep is pricey, which I have learned. Everything.
I have heard that from Jeep owners.
Including lug nuts. And they are very, in Jeep people, most people who get Jeeps, besides me, I love my Jeep, but you have a lot of Jeep people who love the aesthetic of Jeeps and what the parts are. They want authentic Jeep parts. Mm-hmm. And so they called me and they said, hey, there is a lawsuit going on with Jeep right now with lug nuts where you basically can't get them off if you were to get a flat tire on the side of the road. And this whole thing has been happening. Would you have a few of these going on your Jeep? Do you want us to replace them? I was like, well, yeah, if there's a lawsuit, that makes sense. But the first thing, ironically, I said was, okay, well, shouldn't I be getting some type of rebate for Jeep from this? Because I don't know if you've ever seen this, but if you have like a lawsuit that's going on with the manufacturer, basically, they will email you or mail you and say, hey, this is what's going on. You can go into your dealership and get this done for free. Essentially, it's happened a lot on Jeeps. Unfortunately, that's the reason I know that. But the guy said no, because every Jeep has them. They're not like this specific part that was from 2014 to whatever. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, then go ahead and fix them. I don't want to have a problem or, you know, be stuck on a side of a road somewhere. Okay, I get my car back, whatever. They say it's fine. Next day, it's not working fine. And I take it into a Jeep dealership because I had time. That's half the struggle. The reason I didn't is because my Jeep dealership I have to go to is an hour away. I take it into my Jeep dealership. The first thing they say to me is they say, what lug nuts are on your car? I'm like, I don't know. This place told me that I needed to replace them because they're bad and there's a lawsuit. And they're like, there's no lawsuit.
No.
And I was like, excuse me? What? Sure enough, as I'm sitting there letting them work on my car, which I found out, my brake pads were going out, my rotators, a crap ton of things had to be replaced. And I found out there is no lawsuit, in fact. And these people took, and the my Jeep dealership said, like, there is this that happens with lug nuts, but you maybe replace one of them and you're good. They replaced and took all of the lug nuts off my Jeep, every single last one of them. There's six on each tire. Do you know how much a lug nut for a Jeep costs? Just one.
No.
$16.
Okay.
So they took nearly $500 worth of lug nuts off of my car.
Oh, my gosh.
And when I called them, and I was like, I want those back. I don't know what y'all did with them, but I want those back. First of all, they never gave them to me when I got my car back. So they were just gone. And basically, this manager, I still haven't been refunded the money for them that I paid for, which is what was my number one. And two, I was like, I want those back. And they're like, no, they're like in the trash. And I am convinced that somebody stole them. Like somebody in there said, oh, we're going to get this girl. She doesn't know much about cars. We're going to take her lug nuts and I'm going to sell these somewhere else because they are $500 lug nuts. Wild. I still don't even know like what happened, what's going on. Like I'm still kind of in the midst of all of it and dealing with it. And I would have never known if I didn't go up to my Jeep dealership. Thankfully, the ones that are on there do work. I'm not like at a safety risk. Mm-hmm. But they do look different. They're not the same. And they are much cheaper. I paid $55 for all of those versus the almost $500 that I did have on my car.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
And a lot of that, I mean, that's part of the aesthetic of the mm-hmm. wheels and the whole Jeep
yeah.
vibe.
Mm-hmm. And so I called them. I was like, I want my money back and I want my lug nuts back. And they're like, yeah, no, those are in the trash. And I was like, well, then you definitely better give me my money back. And now my mom's like, do you want me to like call a store manager? We can like get them to refund like all that money because that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, maybe, but then I was like, I don't want to deal with all this. It's a lot for no reason.
I mean, that sounds like they probably allegedly in my brain sold them or like,
yeah, right. Like basically took them and sold them to somebody else.
And like, we'll sell her these inexpensive ones and take these and sell them. Mm-hmm. Oh man.
And it's almost funny because when I called the store manager, he was so convinced that they were right. And I was like, are you sure you, because first of all, why would any one of your employees tell somebody about a lawsuit that doesn't exist? Cool. If I need to get those replaced, like, let me know. But why did you tell me there was a lawsuit and that's why they needed to be replaced? Because anybody who hears that word is going to be like, well, yeah, obviously I don't want to be in danger.
Yeah, I feel like if it was that, you'd get like a letter, like when you something. Get a recall, you get a mm-hmm. like a something like, hey, you can take it in. And
mm-hmm. wild. All for freaking lug nuts. Like lug nuts. These are little screws.
And so I hate car stuff.
God, so do I. And I didn't even know this was a thing. And I'll tell you the place so you don't ever go there because it was the worst. And they're chain. Like,
yeah.
Worst experience of my life. And I am crying because I'm sitting here and I'm like, I don't know anything about cars and I just got duped for no reason. Like I'm literally just innocently trying to take care of my car and somebody just straight up took advantage of me.
I see a thing that happened to both of us is we were presented with an issue, like here's a problem and they provide you with a solution and in your head you're like, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with this. All right, well, we'll just fix it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. That's
how they got me. They take advantage of how vulnerable we are.
Yeah, they put you in a situation of like, oh, this is wrong, but we can fix it. Like, okay, let's just fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Get you with car stuff. Like, especially with car stuff. Yes. Anytime I'm approached with that, I'm like, whatever you can do to fix it, I don't want to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Because on the off chance, you're like, okay, maybe they were right. And then you end up, you're like, okay, well, I didn't have them do it. Now I'm going to have to go back because they were right. They were telling me the truth. But you can't trust anybody.
Yeah.
That's the hard part.
I have learned that when it comes to car stuff, it's like they tell you something. I don't do it immediately because I know like it's going to cost a lot. And I just want to make sure that I actually need that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely keep doing that.
So
not.
You have added to my argument there.
Yeah, do not. Do not. Especially if it involves lug nuts on a Jeep. Don't know. Listen, if I find out, you count my word, in 2 years there's going to be like some lug nut ring that comes outside of this place. And it's going to be like they were like selling these parts. I'm telling you. So that was my week last week, which I'm still dealing with this week. And it is not fun. That's also why I hate everybody. That was the start of why I started hating everyone.
Yeah, that would push me to it.
Yeah. You just can't trust people. And it makes me sad. I want to be able to I just want to trust that people are like, have your best interest at heart, right? But when money's involved... And when cars are involved.
Especially cars.
It's not true. At all. Rude.
I just feel like the world's become more scammy.
It is. Everything is a scam. Mike, You heard me right before this podcast. I was on freaking call with my insurance. I'm dealing with a clinic that's wanting to charge me $40 for something that was 100% supposed to be covered under my insurance. And they're refusing to change the coding of it. And I'm like going back and forth with my insurance in this place. And I'm like, I don't understand why this is so difficult. Why is this a scam? I had to get this done. This was not like a choice. And now I'm sitting here being scammed out of $40. Everybody wants my money.
That is the theme of the world.
Oh, man. Yeah, everything is scammy. That's the best way to put it. The world is scammy. And that's a really sad reality.
Yeah, I just feel like I can't trust anybody. Mm-hmm. I don't answer my phone. I don't click on links. I don't believe people when they tell me.
Like, yep. Just don't trust anybody. That's it. The bottom line. I think I have walked you over to my side.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Mike.
I hate everybody.
Here's some things that we learned from TikTok this week. It's coming in at the number 3 spot. Everybody loves hearing life hacks. Those are just fun. I love hearing ways that I can hack the system, especially based on everything we were just talking about, because if there's a way that I can do things easier and not deal with crappy situations, I'll take it.
And that's what scammers are doing, though.
I know. But not life hacks.
Yeah.
Life hacks, they help us.
It's unethical life hacks.
Yeah, the scammers are unethical, but the life hacks we shared were good ones.
Yeah,
those help you in every day. What's something you've been watching recently that you love?
I've been watching The Mandalorian. I've been waiting for this show to come back for so long now.
Isn't it so good, Mike?
It is so good, and then it's also inspired me to go back and rewatch all the Star Wars movies, which mm-hmm. I started. I just, like, as much as a fan of superheroes that I am, for some reason I just don't revisit the Star Wars movies as much, but watching the first episodes of The Mandalorian, I was like, man, this is so good. I got to go back and watch all these.
It's so, and they came out like hard, like just ready on a new adventure.
Yeah.
And it's really good. I had watched because I was so excited that it came out. I had watched the first 2 seasons again in like one day. I got that excited. And I almost watched like the Obi-Wan and the other ones again, but I was like, no, they're not the same as Mandalorian.
Yeah, there's just something different about that series that it doesn't matter what any other Star Wars series that comes out. Mm-hmm. I won't be as interested, but whenever Mandalorian comes out, I am completely dialed in.
It's like the mystery of him. Obviously, you know what he looks like now mm-hmm. in with season 3, but it's the mystery of him and that he's going and he is really stuck to this creed of the Mandalorian, and Grogu now has like more personality than he's ever had before. It's just so, and especially when I hear the,
yeah,
I'm like, ooh, chill bumps. And I don't even know why.
I think it's because out of all the series, even out of all the movies, it's the series that is encompassed like what made the original movie so great. Mm-hmm. That sense of adventure, the sense of everything happening is just happening and you just accept it. Like, you are thrown into this world, it is what it is. You don't completely know everything or where it's going, but you're in for the adventure. Mm-hmm. And so it's brought back those kind of nostalgic vibes of those early Star Wars movies, and I think that's why even the old school fans will rag on everything new Star Wars love The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. And because of Grogu.
Yeah, well, and like, I even especially in the latest episode, I feel like they have a play, like there's such good after effects and stuff to use now, but with Grogu, they're almost allowing some of that cheesiness back in mm-hmm. of like the old after effects where it's not perfect.
Yeah.
And he just like, when he moves and stuff, I'm like, this is weird, but also I love it. You know what I mean? It that also reminds me of the old movies where it's like, this isn't perfect, but it's so cool for what it is.
Yeah.
Because sometimes he moves and I'm like, because he's moving now more than he ever did before. And when he moves, I'm like, well, that was new, but I'm like, that's how Yoda moves. You know what I mean? Like, it gives you that nostalgic vibe you're talking about, too. So, great one. I suggest anybody who's not even a Star Wars fan would like it.
Yeah, you don't have to know really anything about all mm-hmm. of them. Like, it's pretty self-contained. But even with other Star Wars movies, you don't know everything the first time you watch them.
No, I'm still confused. Even watching them back multiple times, I'm like, I didn't realize that happened.
Yeah.
That would be my show for anyone to watch, would be The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And I love that we agree on that, because sometimes we don't agree on them.
I think
and that's how you know it's a really good one.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
It matched like everybody's level of things that they like.
Yeah, I haven't mm-hmm. met anybody who, obviously a lot of people probably haven't seen it, but the people who have seen it, I haven't met anybody who just doesn't like it. Like, mm-hmm. not for me.
It's really hard to hate a little green man.
Yeah.
Grogu's just so cute. And Mandalorian is so BA while also being mysterious.
Yeah. My favorite Christmas gift I got in recent years was somebody got me a Grogu.
Oh.
And it was
like a statue?
No, it's like a plush toy. Like, it looks a little realistic.
Mm.
And not a super expensive gift, but I remember getting that and feeling like a kid again. And I was like, I don't know why this $20 piece of plastic is making me so happy right now. But that's one of my favorite gifts I ever got.
Because you know what? You know what it reminds me of? Even just you talking about it in that way, it reminds me of Stitch.
Yeah.
In the sense that everybody gravitated towards him and really loved him just as a character, as an entity outside of the series, outside of what he did on the shows, just like as a little character, they just loved him.
Yeah, something about cute little alien looking mm-hmm. creatures that are fun.
I do love a little alien creature, yes. There are, I don't know if you've seen this, and I don't know if you like Legos. The reason I know this, because when I went home for Christmas, my sister and her boyfriend is a big Marvel and Star Wars fan, which is funny because him and I geek out on it, and she's like, I don't know what's going on. But she loves puzzles, and they actually have Lego sets of Marvel characters. They've done Groot, they've done the Thanos's glove with
Infinity Gauntlet.
Any of the words right now. Yes, the Infinity Gauntlet. They've done a few others. They did like the Guardians of the Galaxy ship. But when I was home for Christmas, they did Grogu, and he had his little ball, and it was like a puzzle, but in Lego form, and you create Grogu, and it's so cool. Like, and he keeps them all like up on his desk. But my sister loves puzzles, so she's like, I'll do these with you all the time, and he loves keeping them. It's like the perfect mix, but they are really cool, and I think you would love them.
I haven't gotten into puzzles recently. I dabbled in Legos a little bit during the pandemic, trying to find things to do at home.
So these aren't like ones where you just like play with them and you kind of put them together how you want. These, you have like a outline, and
okay,
you put
yeah.
it together so it looks like Grogu, and it's cool. You would like it, especially knowing that you like Grogu. You could get the Grogu one.
Yeah.
Or one of the Marvel. There's multiple. They have so many of them now.
Yeah, the gauntlet, I think I would like that one.
Mm-hmm.
I was debating on what to get as my next tattoo, and that was one of the ideas.
The gauntlet?
Yeah.
Okay. Why the gauntlet?
I think because that kind of encompasses all of my favorite Marvel movies. My favorite one of all time is Infinity War, and I love Thanos as a villain. I think he is the best villain, and that really carried those movies, Infinity War into Endgame. I think without that, those movies wouldn't have had that much of an impact, so I thought it would be also different to have like a villain tattoo.
Oh yeah, versus like a hero tattoo.
Yeah, because I was like, I would gravitate towards having, you know, a hero, but I think having a villain would be something a little bit different and also just representative of what I love the most about all those movies.
What do you know? I haven't gotten a chance to ask you this. Speaking of villains, especially because it really brought the Mexican culture into Marvel, how do you feel about the new Black Panther villain?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Namor.
Mm-hmm.
I freaking loved it. The thing about they nailed so perfectly in that is it's the embodiment of the Mexican dream. Because much like Namor, my dad also went into a new country through way of water.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Oh, well,
so like because he was on a boat?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Am I getting the right correlation?
Yeah. Okay, I think seeing him and also that he would do so many interviews speaking in Spanish, and it kind of takes Marvel and puts it on, you know, a global scale,
mm-hmm.
which I think is cool. And I think it's also cool just having more representation in that entire movie.
Mm-hmm. I wondered. I had meant to ask you that because we had talked about the second Black Panther, but it didn't really dawn on me until I kept seeing interviews and stuff with him and just realizing really how much that just elevated Marvel even more. And really cool. So maybe he could also be one of your villain tattoos.
I would get that. Yeah, maybe I'd just create a whole villain sleeve.
It could be the little, like, but I think that shoe with the feather exists somewhere else as, like, a logo for somebody.
Oh, like in, like, the Goodyear?
Yeah, isn't it? But that's kind of what his is.
Yeah.
It would be, like, a sandal with a feather, I guess. That's, like, his sign. I'm trying to think of what else he was wearing that could identify that, but I think those are it.
Like a Speedo.
Yeah, you get a little Speedo underneath the Infinity Gauntlet. It looks like an outfit. Oh, so that I'll add to you thinking about your villain tattoo.
Yeah.
But I love that. That's a great idea. We also are both watching The Last of Us. That was the other one.
Yeah.
And I will say, did you watch the newest episode?
The one that came out on Sunday? Save it for Saturday.
Okay, okay. I'm not spoiling anything, but I'm just saying I could have done without it. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
It gets very intense. Like,
okay, that's what I like. See, when I told you about the show, That's what you asked about. Like, does it get scary?
Mm-hmm.
And I like those parts of the show. I don't feel like it goes there all the time.
No, it doesn't. And that's why I appreciate it. But when I'm telling you, I was sitting there down eating my dinner, watching this last night, and I straight up jumped. And then I got sad. And then I was like, holy crap, what is happening? And then I was on my phone playing games because I couldn't pay attention. Because there was it was definitely the most intense episode yet. And something happens that I never want to happen in shows.
Okay.
That's all I'll say.
I have a prediction now, but I won't say it.
Maybe. But it could be totally. It could be a lot of things, because there's a lot of things I don't like to happen in shows. But even worse. But I do really like it besides the latest episode. But I think that's why you'll love it even more.
Yeah.
Because it's getting there. It's picking up the pace. And it makes sense. Knowing that this has evolved from a video game, it makes sense. Everything that's happening tracks, and it's on par, but it still blows my mind.
Yeah, I like on TikTok whenever they post the side-by-side of the video game and then how they did it. It's pretty spot on.
That's so crazy. It's also crazy because is there a lot of movies that have been come out from a video game?
There have been, but not as like detailed as this one has been. I think that's why it's getting so much praise, mm-hmm. is because, well, the way that video games have advanced, they pay a lot more attention to the storylines now. So it hasn't been done to where there was this video game with such a great storyline already, mm-hmm. that literally all they have to do is take what they did in the video game and do it with the actors and do it on the TV show.
Yeah.
Everything else is like Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, speaking of Super Mario Brothers, are you going to see that new movie?
Yeah, definitely.
It comes out soon, doesn't it?
It comes out at the start of next month.
Yeah. That one looks pretty good in the trailers, at least.
Yeah, I love video game adaptations, because especially when it comes to video games that I played as a kid, mm-hmm. I think I am questioning, though, because I go to movies alone, and going to kids' movies alone starting to feel a little bit different to me.
But you think with that one it would be that way? Because it is more adult.
Yeah, I think since it's because of the Super Mario franchise and it's everybody who loved playing it as a kid, mm-hmm. I think there will probably be still a lot of adults in the movie.
What was the last kid one you went to and you're like, oh, I shouldn't be here?
Well, at least I went with my wife, but we went to go see Minions.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Love Minions. They're funny. And
they are funny.
I think it was fine that we went as a couple, but maybe if I went by myself, I'd be like, oh, this feels a little weird.
I think that's fair. But I also think it's fair that you're in the movie theater and you're going to see a movie and you have credentials to show that you're doing a podcast.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it might be a little weird.
Yeah.
On like opening night and you're with all the families.
But I know they're coming out with like another Toy Story 5. And I mean, even that, by the time we get to that, we'll be further into my 30s.
That's true. I felt like they really wrapped it good with the Toy Story 4.
I felt they wrapped it good with Toy Story 3.
Yeah. Like, I didn't, like, if since they did add on, I was like, okay, you wrapped it. Like, cool. That's a cool ending. It's done. I'm surprised they're coming out with a fifth one.
Yeah. I think it's more of a cash grab situation at this point. Disney looking for some more hits.
Do they really need them, though?
Yeah, and everybody loves Toy Story, so it's kind of an instant, easy way to make money.
That's true, but I mean, seriously? Like, I love when they come out with new things because I love them. I love the new versions of stories.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
Coming out with a totally original idea, and I'm like, I'll watch that. Especially Pixar. I'll watch anything Pixar. If they said it's new, I'll be like, yeah, I'll watch it. I don't know if I'll love it, but I'll watch it. I'll give it a chance. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm alone in that. We are doing a lot of the nostalgia stuff lately. There's a lot of things that have been making a comeback.
Yeah, now everybody has like a rewatch podcast that's very big right now.
Mm-hmm.
So they're banking on our nostalgia.
Dang. Well, Toy Story 5. You're going to see the review from Mike. I don't have a good feeling. It'll be good.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Artesian, premium cocktails on demand.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
We had Tim McGraw on the show this week, and it was really fun to hear from him. Speaking of movies and TV shows, we talked to him about his acting career and why he can't watch things that he's been in, which... totally understand. I think Mike and I can both reiterate that it's always weird listening back. I'll never listen to the best bits.
Yeah, I don't listen to any podcast or anything back.
You're recording, you're like, it's done. Cool, we did it.
Yep.
Uh-huh. It's really hard to listen to yourself back. I think that's a good thing. I think if you like to listen or watch yourself, it might be a little weird.
Yeah, I did make the mistake of listening back to a very early on podcast.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh man, that is not good.
It was probably good for your own constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Probably not good for your mental health or securities.
Yeah, I was like, oh man, that's how I started. All right, cool.
Oh, Mike. Yeah, don't do that. So I get why he doesn't watch him. He doesn't listen to his old shows. And he even mentioned that he cringes when he does, which totally get it. But being that it's Tim McGraw and he is such a massive actor, what's your favorite movie or TV show that a country star has been in? Because there's a lot.
Mine is actually one with Tim McGraw, Friday Night Lights.
Oh, so good.
And he plays the dad in that who is not a good person. And he did a really good job in that. And it's crazy to see Tim McGraw as the country superstar, the guy who comes in here and is one of my favorite guests that we have, like, out of any guest.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be able to go and do a very dramatic role there. It's just, he can do it all.
He can.
And that is such a great movie, one of my favorite football movies. And the only movie I watch when it comes to football that actually made me want to play football afterwards. And I'm not athletic whatsoever. I should not be throwing or catching a football, but that movie did that to me. It's very motivating, very moving movie.
Dang, I forgot about that one because when I think football movie and Tim McGraw, I almost always think A Blind Side.
Yeah, everyone goes to The Blind Side, but Friday Night Lights, by far my favorite. Over those two.
That's a really good one. Another one that was on my list that I have like four that I was like, I could watch these on repeat. And Country Strong was one of them. Mm-hmm. And Tim McGraw is also in that. And I just loved him and Gwyneth Paltrow. Like they acted so well in that movie and how they interacted with each other and what happened. Just, I remember crying a lot during that movie. It was a good one. But then, like, on the total opposite end of that is Reba, her TV show.
Oh, yeah.
I freaking love Reba. Like, even when she came and performed in Nashville and when her song came on for that show, I was like, oh, my God, this is the best day ever. And that's, like, the show of my childhood because my parents always had it on. It was Reba.
Like, yeah, I watched a lot of Reba. Mm-hmm. I don't even think when I was younger and really saw her as the music person Reba. I just saw her as Reba on TV.
Yep. I don't even think when I was younger I put two and two together until I got older. Like, I thought they were separate people. Like, my parents loved Reba. My dad loves Fancy. That's like one of his favorite songs.
Oh, yeah.
And so he always talked, but like, then I saw Reba, and I just don't think I ever quite until like maybe I was in high school when I was like, wait, you know, when you have like an epiphany?
Yeah.
That's kind of what happened with Reba. I was like, oh, those are the same person. I'm sure I knew. I just never quite understood.
My favorite Reba story is we had her on the Bobbycast last year, and my job is always to go and greet the guests and bring them back to the studio. So we had Reba in that day, which is weird enough to have some country superstar come over to your house, because we do them at Bobby's house. So I go open the door, and there's Reba, and she introduces herself. She's like, hi, I'm Reba, in that classic Reba voice. And she doesn't have to introduce herself. Uh-huh. Like, I know you, Reba. The entire world knows you, Reba. But that is the kind of person she is, still introduces herself.
I love her. She's an icon, just like icon of life.
Yeah.
Dolly gets a lot of love, as she should. But Reba, she should be up there too. Like, she should get just as much love as Dolly.
Right up there.
Gosh, that's good. That's a great story too. You're going to always have that moment. Hi, I'm Reba. Was that good?
Yeah, that was good. I have a story like that with Reba and with Dolly.
Dang, really?
Whenever Dolly Parton came in here for the first time, I was working in the glass room just doing some production. And then I hear boots coming down the hallway, all of the things on her jacket jiggling. And then this voice just says, who's in there with hair wilder than mine? And I had very spiky, messy hair at the time. And then I look to my left, and it's Dolly Parton.
Dang.
And I'll never forget that.
She called you out on your hair.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And that's also the level of stars that are at that highest level. They come in here, they get here early, and they say hi to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's Dolly Parton, Garth Brooks, Tim McGraw, Reba, all those people make everybody feel special.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it
so
effortlessly.
Good at it too.
Yeah.
Like, they just, like, it's not even like it's like you're talking to your mom and they're just like, hey, how's it going? Like, it feels very natural.
Yeah.
Wild. That's so cool.
That's how they get to that level.
I know. You have two of those. Those are two really good stories. Reba and Dolly. I also had on my list Hannah Montana.
Oh, yeah. That's another one I don't even associate with her being a musician.
Right? I mean, she country artist, but also Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah.
Like, two big artists on that. And I loved Hannah Montana. Like, that was my jam on Disney Channel. If there's one show that I watch every episode, Hannah Montana. And then Walk the Line is another one. I loved that movie. That was a good one. Just, like, outside of things. And I don't know that Reese is technically considered an artist.
That's what I was saying. Who are you categorizing there? Reese Witherspoon?
Yeah, I think I put this one under because she's involved in country music, and I was very shocked that she could sing that well.
Yeah.
I think that's why I had it on here. I was like, at the list, I was like, I want to mention that.
Yeah, she lives in Nashville some of the time. She counts.
Yeah, she counts. But Reba, country song, those are my two. And Hannah Montana.
The one I'm looking forward to is whenever Randy Houser told us that he's going to be in that Martin Scorsese movie.
Oh, yeah. When is that supposed to come out?
I think it comes out later this year. It's coming out, I think, in the summer on Apple and then later in theaters.
Ooh.
But the way he described that, and I haven't really seen anything that he's acted in,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds from the scene he got to be in, like, that's going to be really cool to see him in that. Because we know Randy Houser.
Yeah.
But to see him in a scene with Leonardo DiCaprio...
Wild. Is it the one that's called Killers of the Flower Moon?
That is it, based on a book.
It looks very artsy.
Yeah, very dramatic. I mean, the movie could probably be nominated for an Oscar at some point, and Randy Houser's going to be in a movie like that.
Amazing.
That's cool.
Talk about your breakthrough acting role, and that's what you're in?
Yeah.
Amazing. Has he had any other acting roles? I don't think so.
He's done some acting.
He has?
Yeah.
Like, been in like a Hallmark movie?
I think some... decent level of movies, maybe some TV shows.
Are you sure? Are you sure you're not thinking about like Trace Adkins?
No, Randy Houser has an IMDb page. Check it out.
Wait, what? Movies and TV shows. Let's see. I'm like curious now. What all has he been in? Okay. Let's see. TV shows. He has. I don't think I've seen any of these, and that's why. These are interesting.
Yeah, he's been in some stuff.
Magnolia. Ambush at Dark Cannon. Well, his music videos don't count.
Yeah,
IMDb.
He has his album.
Magnolia? That's his album. So I think it's just that one, the ambush at Dark Cannon. Is that right?
Yeah, that's one. I swore he was like in a movie.
I think that was it. I'm telling you, this may be his like true breakout role, though.
Yeah, it could be.
Because that one may have just been like an appearance, or maybe he was himself. Well, if somebody else knows, and they're like a massive Randy Houser fan, I want all the details. That's wild. That's going to be cool to see. Especially on and Martin Scorsese is a massive name in Hollywood.
Legendary director.
Wild. That would be like you opening for Adam Sandler.
Yeah. Or being in a Marvel movie. That's my other lifelong dream.
See, we got them. These are the big ones. Oh, man. Well, some good ones. Maybe we're making people watch a lot of things this weekend. I like it for them. And number one spot, the IQ test results, of course. Mm-hmm. Sad day for me. I don't want to talk about it. I would like to say that I like triple checked my test, which is why I was the last one to turn in. I went through my pages like multiple times, which is what I did test taking growing up. When you took tests, did you ever double check everything?
I did early on, and then later I was like, I feel so confident. I probably should have double checked it, because that's what they would say. Check your answers whenever you take any kind of standardized test.
It is what they would always say. That was in my head as I was taking that. I was like, I have to double check these. And I even went back, as Mike saw in some of my writing, and changed my answers.
It reminded me when you would fill out, they tell you to fill out like the Scantron answer sheet last. Yes. And I'd get to a point like, I don't want to go back and do that. So I would do it at the same time. And they're like, don't do it that way.
No, the freaking Scantrons, that's what Eddie and I were talking about that before we started taking the test. I was like, do you remember Scantrons? We're all taking it with pins right now. This is what that reminds me of. So, yeah, the IQ test results, those are the number one spot, and it's a good time. You can also go watch the full thing on YouTube, too, if you want to see all of our reactions, because those are pretty funny, too. But, Mike, thanks for hanging out with me and joining the Best Bits for a minimal therapy this time, but mostly
minimal
laughs.
Minimal therapy. I fell into it.
You did. That was all you. All you. But I like it, and I will always accept it. But it was fun to catch up on everything going on and get your hot take on a lot of things.
Yeah.
I like it. Tell the people where they can find you, hear you, all that good stuff.
You can listen to me on my podcast, Movie Mike's Movie Podcast. New episodes drop every Monday. You can follow me on socials, Mike Destro, on everything.
I love it. And you can follow the show at Bobby Bone Show on all the things. And I am at Webgirl Morgan also on all of the things. Literally all of them, I think. Besides Snapchat. Do you still have Snapchat?
I do still have Snapchat.
Dang, really? Do you use it?
I check it occasionally. For the longest time, my wife Kelsey and I had a Snapchat streak.
Oh, that's fair.
I think we reached like 500. And then whenever there was that bomb here in Nashville that shut down the entire internet and cell phone, we broke our streak. That was the ender.
Dang. Talk about a like actual massive ender. That's sad.
That cut our streak, and then we don't really use it that much anymore.
That makes sense. I've always said the only reason people should still have Snapchat now is if they have streaks going. Otherwise, I think the app's pretty dead for the most part, but you'd be surprised. I know a lot of people use them.
There are some like people making bank on Snapchat.
They
like,
are.
The high like creators, mm-hmm. They get paid a lot of money to be over there.
Which is interesting to me because I don't know a lot of people that are actually watching any of the content on Snapchat.
Yeah, but I guess they want to keep it alive, so they're willing to pay some people some money.
I know. It's crazy to me. That one I won't get. That one I don't understand, but... Oh, Mike. All right. Go enjoy your weekend. You've had a long week.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of stuff for the show. You need to go enjoy your weekend, but thanks for hanging out with me.
Thanks for having me.
Bye, everyone.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Bobby Bones.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.